Like Daniel said, it really is a pleasure to be able to be here with you, and found it pretty cool that we're in a church that Daniel's grandpa pastored. And, you know, we have some heritage here, so that's kind of neat. But I just wanted to take an opportunity to share with you guys a little bit of my spiritual journey and what the Lord has been doing in my heart, and how he brought me to this point. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, and I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home with two parents who did their best to demonstrate what a relationship with the Lord looks like. And I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was 5. And when I was 10 years old, I was at a Christian summer camp, and the Lord called me to be a missionary. And when I was 10, that was a really cool thing, to be called to be a missionary. But as I grew older, it became a lot more scary of an idea. And when I got into high school, then I started thinking, well, I don't know that I want to be a missionary because I don't want to go to Africa. And missionaries only go to Africa, right? So didn't want to go to Africa, so I didn't want to be a missionary. So when I was in high school, then I just came up with a new plan for my life. And I was going to go out to Montana and meet a cowboy. And I was going to get married and live on a ranch in Montana. That was my plan. So after I graduated from high school, I headed out to Arrowhead Bible College in Montana, where I met a missionary kid. Not quite the cowboy I was anticipating. But praise God, the Lord had a much better plan than my plan was. I met Daniel and we started dating. And he told me, as soon as we started dating, he said, "I am going to be a missionary. And if you don't think that you are going to be a missionary, then we can't date, because this is what the Lord has called me to do." And so I really started praying and, you know, searching and saying, "Okay, God, I'm listening. What is it that you want me to do?" And the Lord confirmed at that time that I was to be a missionary. And so in 2009, Daniel and I got married, and I moved from Wisconsin to Indiana, where Daniel was halfway through his elementary education degree. And so I started to form a new plan in my head for how I thought our life should go. Because I knew we were going to end up on the mission field, but Daniel was in school and all that, so I knew it was going to be a couple years. So my desire was to be a Christian wife, so I was working on that one. And then I wanted to also be a Christian mother. And in October of 2010, we found out we were pregnant with our first baby. And we were over the moon excited. This was our dream coming true. We prayed for this baby. We were just ecstatic. And January 1st of 2011, we lost that baby. And growing up, I had never really experienced loss before. And losing that baby shook me to the core. And it called me to question everything that I said I believed. I questioned God. I questioned how he could possibly be good and let this happen. And I told him, "If this is your plan for me, I don't want this. This hurts too much." And I went through anger and bitterness and depression. And in February, we went to Bolivia for the first time, or for my first time. We were there for about 8 weeks or so. And I sat in a church service. And I told God, "I know you're there. And I know that you could have saved my baby, and you didn't. And I'm angry at you. And I just want you to leave me alone." And for the rest of that day, the Lord did leave me alone. And it was the darkest day of my life. And by the end of that day, I was on my knees before the Father, and I said, I can't do this without you. Please help me. And I begged the Lord to take my pain away. And the Lord did not take my pain away, but he came alongside, and he gave me what I needed to get through each day. Then in April of 2011, we found out we were pregnant for the second time. And on Mother's Day, we lost that baby as well. And I laid in bed on Mother's Day, knowing I was losing my baby. And I just burned with anger. And I screamed at God, why? Why both of my babies? Why couldn't you give me one? And I was just consumed with anger, and there was so much bitterness in my heart. If I would see a pregnant woman on the street, I would just get so angry. And I couldn't rejoice with any friends or relatives who were having babies because I was so angry and so jealous because that's what I wanted so badly. I could see what was happening in my heart. I could see that bitterness there. And I hated it because I knew that bad things happen to people, to everyone. And we always have a choice of how we're going to respond. I hated what I was seeing inside of me. But I was so hurt that I was so not able to respond the way that I wanted to. And I finally had a friend who challenged me that when I saw a pregnant woman on the streets, I should pray for her, which is the last thing I felt like doing, but I did not like that person that I was seeing myself become. And so I started doing that. When I saw a pregnant woman on the streets, I would pray for her. And when I stopped praying, if those feelings of anger and bitterness rose again, then I would pray again. And I would pray again and again, as long as it took for those feelings to go. And praise the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he snipped that root of bitterness that was taking on in my heart. And once again, I prayed and begged the Lord to take my pain away. And once again, the Lord came alongside me and gave me what I needed to get out of bed. And I slowly began going through the healing process. And then in July, we found out we were pregnant for the third time. And we were terrified. We just started praying. And while we were praying for this baby, I told Daniel, I said, you know, I really have a sense of peace about this baby. I just know that everything is going to be okay. And in September, we lost that baby as well. And I really started to struggle with a sense of betrayal. And I prayed and I said, God, I don't understand. You gave me peace. Why would you give me peace and then have things turn out this way? And I know now that the Lord gave me peace because he was still at work. He was in control. And things were going to be okay, even though it was not going to turn out the way I wanted it to. And just like with our first two miscarriages, I begged the Lord to take my pain away. And our gracious Lord, who knew I was at a breaking point, he came and he shouldered my pain and he bore it for me because I could not. He took that pain and he gave me a joy that I have never known before. And I know it could have come from nowhere but him. Because there is nothing inside of me that could be joyful as my world was falling apart. And that was one of the sweetest times in my relationship with the Lord. Even though it was the most difficult so far of my life. I used to, even there were times still last year that I would sit sometimes and ask God, why? I don't understand why I had to go through that. But I don't ask God why anymore, because I will never know why. But I have absolute faith in the one who does know why. And he is good all the time. And his plan is the best. As 2011 drew to a close, the Lord began to speak to my heart and show me that my desire for children had become an obsession. It was my number one desire. And the Lord called me to surrender that desire to him, to give it up. And I was afraid. I was afraid if I surrendered my desire for children that I would never have any children. And I argued, and I said, but God, look at so-and-so. I can name all these people who have kids that you didn't make go through this. And, or, God, this isn't a sinful desire. I just want a baby. And the Lord just said, Naomi, this is not about anybody else. This is between you and me. And you cannot have any desire above me. And in January of 2012, I finally surrendered to the Lord, fully surrendered. And the Lord changed my heart. And my life changed. My priorities changed. He gave me some victory over some sin in my life that I just couldn't get out of. I still had a desire for children, but it was in its proper place. I would pray about it and leave it with the Lord. It was not my ever-waking thought anymore. I just prayed that in His time, the Lord would give us a baby. And I learned contentment. The kind of contentment that Paul talks about. He says, whatsoever state I am content. If I had waited for children to make me content, as much as I adore our children, I would be an unhappy woman, I'm afraid. And in April of 2012, we found out we were pregnant for the fourth time. And we were beyond terrified. Every loss that we faced just shook me so hard and took me to a dark place. And I was so scared of going back to that place again. And we just prayed, God, please help us. No matter what happens, please help us to hold on to you. And in June, we were headed to our first appointment. We were seeing a pregnancy specialist in Indianapolis. We were headed to that appointment, and I just cried most of the way there. And we were listening to Christian music and just trying to pray and just focus our hearts on the Lord. And at that appointment, for the first time in four pregnancies, we heard our baby's beating heart. And I told Daniel at that point that we were having a boy, and I wanted to name him Samuel, because Samuel means heard by God. And 7 months after that appointment, I gave birth to a perfect, beautiful, little Samuel. And every day that I look into my little boy's eyes, I am reminded of the power and love and the faithfulness of our God. He is my daily reminder. And then just 3 months ago, we had a perfect little baby girl. 5 pounds, 6 ounces. She was a tiny little bundle, but absolutely perfect. If you had told me back in 2010 that I would be up here sharing this story with you, I would have done whatever I could to have gotten out of this. But now, standing before you, I cannot tell you how thankful I am to be here sharing this with you. how thankful I am for the short lives of my babies that the Lord used to change my life and has used for His glory. I know that they are with Him in heaven, and I will see them one day. That was not always a comfort to me. So right after I lost them, it was like I wanted them in my arms. There was no better place for them than the arms of their mother. But you know, there's no better place for them than the arms of Jesus. My babies are safe for eternity. As a mother, what more could I want for my children than to be with Jesus? I'm so thankful for what the Lord has done in my heart and how He has used the lives of my babies to draw my heart closer, not just to His heart, but also closer to those children who don't have somebody to love them or are not being cared for. Just before I close, I just wanted to share a scripture with you guys that the Lord used for me when I was going through my miscarriages, and He continues to use on a daily basis. These are my go-to verses now. Psalms 18, 28 to 32. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, for by you I can run against troops. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except my God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. The Lord's way is perfect. He is a shield. Praise God.